Thank you. How beautiful. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are continuing in our series today based on the book Emergence, Seven Steps for Radical Life Change by Derek Riedel. And we began in stage one by seeing the completed vision, seeing the oak already existing within the acorn, seeing our own destiny already there within the potential inside of us. Stage two was about cultivating the conditions that are conducive to the growth, creating a welcoming environment for this vision to emerge. And we do that by activating the feelings ahead of time that we will feel when that vision is manifested. It's a prerequisite. Last week, we created a quantum plan, which is more about developing into who we have come here to be than it is about what will be externally accomplished. And it shifts us from being driven to being drawn by something greater that exists within us. Well, this week, we move on to stage four. My talk title is Give What Appears Missing. Give what appears to be missing. And I would invite you to listen to this morning with the ears of a spiritual being on this planet here for a purpose. Can we all agree to do that?
Yes.
Because that's the truth about you. Because today we want to examine and engage the third unity principle, that the thoughts and the beliefs that we routinely hold become our experience of life, that what we put out there is mirrored back to us. And we want to not only examine it, we want to see how we can harness the energy of this principle in our own lives. Are you up for it?
Yes.
All right. So Sheldon Kopp wrote, "You only get to keep what you give away." Now, that seems very counterintuitive, doesn't it, to what we typically think of as the way that we, you know, have what we want coming forth in our lives. If you give something away, well, it's gone. But we have actually learned it all backwards. We've been taught that if we want something, we have to go out and get it. But in truth, we have to go within and let it out. Now, you might say, well, what I want is a new car. How can I go within and let that out? Well, obviously you can't. But what you can let out is the internal state of being that you think that new car is going to bring you. See the difference? So we're not talking about things. We're talking about what those things represent for us, what we think they will bring us. So what will this new car bring you? Will it be a sense of adventure, sense of freedom? Whatever it is, that is what you want to find within yourself and let out for the world. Typically, instead, we attach that state of being, that freedom, to whatever it is we want to bring into our lives. You see? And that keeps us searching and searching outside of ourselves to try to find what is within us right now. And we hold the key to making that happen. I recently read a book by a young man on death row who was seeking a sense of freedom. Now, can you imagine seeking freedom inside of prison? And he could have just as easily focused on what was missing for him. He could have focused on being behind bars for the rest of his life. Instead, he looked for another way, and he found it. He found that freedom through mindfulness. And not only that, but he found it and he shared it. And he helped others get a sense of their freedom. In fact, I have to tell you, I found inner freedom as I read his book. You see? Now, if a man on death row can find freedom, do you think that you also could find what seems to be missing in your life too?
Yes.
Let's hear it like you mean it.
Yes.
Focusing on what appears to be missing actually sets us up to continuously experience that sense of lack. Because what we focus on grows and expands. It will also hinder the emergence of the gifts that we have brought with us to this planet to give to the world. Do you see that? It actually blocks it. When we focus on what's missing, it blocks us from expressing who we truly are at the depths of our being. And this false notion that our good lies outside of ourselves is the main reason for all of the conflict that we see in our world today. Do you see that? Wow. A sense of lack, limitation, sense that I'm not good enough, that there's not enough to go around, so I got to get mine. Do you see? All that contributes to this sense of separation, competition, powerlessness, a hoarding of resources. And as we look for something outside of ourselves that we think makes us complete, we go out of our way to try to find what's already inside of us. But we're looking in the wrong area. And when we hold on to something, believing that it is giving us our value and our worth, that sets us up for a whole world of hurt. Do you know what I'm talking about here? When we think that something or someone outside of ourselves can make us whole, we are doomed to keep looking for it out there and never finding it. And it might look a little bit like this.
My precious. I've been looking for my ring, and it is my ring that makes me whole. My precious. And it's missing, and I must find it.
But you don't need anything to make you whole. You're already whole. Every time that you look for something outside of yourself, it blocks the freedom of God from expressing within you.
What kind of New Age gobbledygook is that? It is my ring, and life has cheated me and brought me pain and hurt and sorrow. It is a trickster. Life is tricksty. It's false. It hurts you. It's full of lies. I must find my precious.
But your precious will not do anything. You are already whole. You are already complete. The life of God within, it's your friend.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you. The only value they place on you is when you have something that they wish they had. Life is unfair.
No, life is whole. Life is good, and it's pure. Now, when you talked to me before, you said that you knew that you believed that. You are my ego, and together we make a great whole. And you talked to me, and you promised me that you knew you were whole. You promised me, the ego promised.
The ego lied.
Well, no. We're going to do something grander. We're going to do something bigger. We're going to join forces here, and we're going to make ourselves whole.
We're going to do what?
We're going to make ourselves whole, but what we'll do is we'll work together and we'll create a quantum plan. And what we'll do with this quantum plan is we'll make ourselves whole together. We'll look inside for what's already there.
There's nothing inside that makes us whole. There's nothing inside to believe in. No.
But I have an idea. Take your sense of lack and know that you are no longer welcome here.
What?
Take your sense of lack and leave right now.
What?
I said, your sense of lack is no longer welcome here. Take it and leave and know that you are no longer welcome here. it's gone. I said it was no longer welcome here, and it's gone.
Gone, and we are free!
Thank you, Dennis Ashley. The ego has landed. He's a good actor. He's not just about doing announcements. There's more to Dennis than meets the eye. So this takes some work, you see. We might have that inner dialogue going on, but know that it's our work, you see. It's not enough for a farmer to gaze out on the field and see, wow, look at this fertile soil. I'm going to do a little dance. I've got the soil. Yes. Or to say, I can't imagine. I can just imagine what's going to come up. Yes, we want to do that. We want to get into that frame of mind. We actually have to plant some seeds, too. You can't just, you know, think about it. Not only that, but we have to create the conditions that will be conducive to its growth. And that takes some work. But what we want to get clear on is this, that a belief in limitation is not something we are burdened with having forever. You see? It is simply something that has found welcoming conditions for it in order to operate. Do you see the difference? It's found those conditions within us, and now it's operating through us. And it's our agreement with it that has given it its power. Words attributed to Jesus in the book of Matthew sum it up. It is done unto you as you believe. We want to deliberately reverse this belief. So instead of having welcoming conditions for a belief in lack, we want to begin to engage life from the standpoint that we already have everything we need within us. Focus on the field, not the form. You see? And these new patterns of belief need to be based on a trust in the greater mind that already lives within us, ready to come out, ready to be expressed. Spirit within us already provides all of the qualities of being that we are searching for outside of ourselves, already. And it turns out that whatever it is that appears to be missing in our lives is, in fact, what we are not giving. Let that one sink in a little bit. Imagine for 1 second that what you feel is missing from your life is what you actually have come here to give. Can you see it? Wow. Don't you hate that? But what if finding a way to first give it to yourself and then to the world is part of your evolutionary process to grow into the powerful being that you already are? Can you imagine that? We bless them. We do. Wherever they're going, whoever they're going to take care of, we bless. Let's just hold that together. A student of ours on an online course that Gary and I are teaching shared with us that what was missing from her life was a sense of being heard, being listened to. In fact, and this was with a significant person in her life specifically. In fact, this person not only didn't listen to her, they would leave right in the middle of a sentence, leave the room, right? And so she began listening to them and discovered this depth of presence that she had no idea that she had within her as part of this process. Can you imagine that? And as I heard her story, I realized that she had, in effect, given what seemed to be missing from her life to another person, in fact, the very person that she thought she needed it from. You see? And it took her to a depth of understanding of who she was that she said it was astonishing. So consider that what you think is missing from your life is what you are here to give. The book of Thomas has an interesting quote. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. It's kind of intriguing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is within you that's being called forth? Ask yourself that question. What do you believe is missing from your life? That can give you a clue. You see? Is it a sense of abundance? You know, do you have a lot? Do you have this real lack consciousness thing going on in your life? Anybody? What about worthiness? Is this something that goes on, feeling like you're not good enough? How about love, connectedness, connecting with others, connecting with who you are? What about safety, security? Is this something that has been missing from your life? Or empowerment? I love that picture. Or it could be something else, you see. We need to find whatever it is and bring that forth. And this practice is about learning to meet our own needs, especially to give ourselves what we needed and didn't get in our younger years. Now, this is not about blaming our parents or our teachers or the classroom bully or any of that stuff. And I in no way want to minimize anyone who may have had a very abusive childhood. So don't hear that I'm trying to just cover that over. If you have had an abusive early life or are in an abusive relationship right now, what I would encourage you to do is to get help and to get the support you need to work through that. What I'm talking about are the slings and arrows of human condition, you know. Even if you had the best parents on the planet, we all get this stuff. You see, it just comes with the territory of living. So what is that for you? What's an unmet need for you from your past? Here's how I would answer that question. Compassion from my peers. Now, I had a pretty stable home life, but, you know, I've shared this before. I was the youngest in the class, and then I skipped a grade. And so I went from friends in the third grade that played with dolls to friends in the fifth grade who were looking at going out with boys. And I was also very small for my age, and I was a little nerdy kid. And so here I was trying to measure up to these folks, and there wasn't a whole lot of compassion that happened. Anybody else have an experience of no compassion when you're in your adolescent years? Anybody? Yes. That's why such a big part of my ministry is teaching and learning and practicing self-compassion. That's why. It's exactly why. Because the world needs self-compassion. But the reason we can address the need is because we have the antidote for it already. See that? It already exists within us as potential. Right now, right here. And we actualize it by asking ourselves, what do I do that gives me a sense of abundance or safety or connection or worthiness or empowerment, whatever it is for us, whatever it is, what brings forth that feeling? And then we do it. We embody it. We let it grow and expand and become our gift to the world. So this practice is about learning to meet our own needs and especially to give ourselves what we didn't get. See? And when we learn to meet our own needs from within by uploading it from our own hearts, we are no longer at the mercy of what is showing up out there. Do you see that? We're no longer relying on someone else to meet those needs. And that's not to say we don't ask to have our needs met by others or speak up for what we need. Certainly, we do that. But our well-being is no longer contingent upon having something out there or someone out there meet that need. Do you see? Our students' well-being no longer was holding on to this other person listening to her. Because chances are good that that's never going to happen from the sounds of it. But her well-being no longer relied on that. And so we can learn to regulate our internal state independent of the conditions we find out there in the external environment. And then the next step is to give what you needed to the world. We don't just activate it within us. We give it to ourselves and then to the world through our families, our communities, where we work, where we interact, all those places. Become the embodiment of whatever it was that you needed and didn't get in your younger years, and lavishly pour it out on the world. That's the work. Do you feel that? Really? Think about the song we sang. There's healing in my hands, my heart. Why is there? Well, it's because from within us, we can do that healing work. Do you see? We are the hands and the heart and the voice of spirit on this planet. And this is our work. I mean, is there a better way to cultivate the conditions needed for your own emergence into who you have come here to be than to find it within yourself, what's missing in your life, and embodying it to such a degree that it pours out onto the world? It's magnificent, isn't it? And when I give compassion to others, I got to tell you, I feel so happy and alive and inspired and fulfilled because I'm giving what I needed to the world. Do you see? Not only that, but it helps me to grow into the more compassionate person I would have been had I received it from my peers all those many years ago. The universe mirrors back what we're putting out there. So what is that for you? Respect, love, validation? Give it to yourself. Then give it to others, including those that you want it from, by the way. That's the part I hate the most. That's when that ego talk can start, because we might withhold, right? Nobody's giving me respect. Why should I give it to anybody else? The ego will give us that self-talk. How can you keep on loving that or respecting that person when they're not giving it to you? How can you keep listening to him when he just doesn't listen to you? Here it comes. Well, first of all, this isn't your average run-of-the-mill giving, by the way. Giving in that sense is really a codependency. It's a codependent sort of thing, an unwritten contract. You know, I give this to you, and you give it this to me. We're not giving to get here. That brings us right back to this old paradigm of lack. It's not about being an accountant of the spirit, you know, settling those scores, balancing. That's conditional. It comes from a consciousness of not having. So we're not doing this from a sense of lack or have to or neediness or giving to get, but instead we are doing so plugged into our source, do you see? Allowing the greater mind to express through us, as us. Our giving should feel like a stretch, but not so much that it pulls a muscle. But if you are willing to be the avenue for a greater emergence of something better, something greater, are you?
Yes.
Yes. Then this is for you. If you will stay the course, you'll not just overcome the self-talk. You will grow and become the person that you would be if you were already receiving that whatever it is you need. Do you see that? I love that. It really is being the way of God instead of in the way. And it's wielding our divine power in such a way that we help to heal our world. And doesn't it need healing? Whoa. We are being called. Don't you feel that? Emerson said, it's the finite alone that has wrought and suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose. When we allow the source, when we allow infinite spirit, the divine presence to be brought forth, transformation happens. And every single one of us has that power within us. Every one of us. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Right now is the time to get clear on this and to use whatever's happened in the past to guide us to identify what's ours to give. Because whatever's missing is what we are not giving. So we identify that and then get busy giving it away. So how do you get started giving what appears to be missing? Well, you have to give it to yourself first. Like that airline announcement, you know, put on your oxygen mask first. Meet your own needs first. Breathe in before you breathe out. We must absolutely give it to ourselves first, filling ourselves up so that we are receiving, you see? And now we can give with a sense of having. It's important to understand that receiving is not the same as getting. Receiving is a gracious act of allowing, and it requires no effort. Trying to get something in order to feel a certain way is much different than unleashing what already is within. Now, many of us have trouble meeting our own needs first. Anyone? Yes. Big trouble with that. But if we don't, we're actually trying to give what has not yet been activated in our consciousness, and the universe will reflect what is really going on inside of us. Do you see? Candle number one. That's what happens. What we're thinking about, how we're treating ourselves, if we're burning out, it's going to show up. So it's not enough to intellectually know this. We have to consciously participate. Right here, right now, there is an infinite storehouse of riches available to you. Right now. This is not some airy-fairy affirmation. This is absolute, substantial truth. But it must be consciously realized, activated and expressed in order to be experienced. And when you get that everything you need is within you, not in some metaphysical way, I'm talking literally, substantially, then the whole meaning and purpose of life changes. There's no one and nothing outside of you that can add anything more to your value and your worth or take anything away. This is what the mystics and the spiritual teachers have always taught. And it's the truth. There's nothing more to get out there. There's just more inside trying to get out. Do you feel that?
Yes.
Until we learn this and actually take up the practice of giving what appears to be missing, we remain at the mercy of whatever is showing up out there. So no matter how dire the situation, no matter what appears to be lacking in your life or making you feel stuck, author Derek Rydell assures us, if we apply this principle of that whatever's missing is what you're not giving and follow this practice, we will start moving. We will start growing. Our energy gets higher. We expand our internal state of being. We get guidance on the next step and we keep on moving. And growing and into who we have come here to be. And when consciousness changes, everything changes. We transcend the mirror. And the more we are willing to help others achieve what we want, treat others how we want to be treated, support others in the way we want to be supported. It's the golden rule. Not giving to get, but radiating it out into our experience by giving it away. When we come from a consciousness of having, sharing what's needed in the world, the more we activate and expand those qualities within ourselves, and ultimately, we are released from the illusion of lack. It's just been a story projected upon our experience all along. Lack is not the truth. So here's a practice to try. Identify something in your life where you feel stuck. And then what qualities would you need to be free and fulfilled in this situation, even if the condition doesn't change? Those of you who've done the Q process will recognize a little question there. And then what does this thing I want or need represent to me? What does it stand for? If it's a new job, does it symbolize security? Let's just say. Then you sense that quality within you already. Sense it. Find it. Even if you just catch a glimmer, you have demonstrated the key to your own freedom, which is to experience the quality without anyone or anything outside of you having anything to do with it. See? And then embody it. Act as if. Experience it. Anchor it. Over time, it will integrate into a new vibratory set point in your consciousness. And then bonus step, give it away. Ask how you can give what was missing for you to others. So how can I help others feel secure? Say it's security that you want. I once knew a woman who had a very unstable family life as a child. And she was constantly anxiety-ridden and feeling unsafe until she had a child of her own. And she stepped into her power and vowed that her child would never have the same experiences that she had. She turned into Mama Bear. Who is this woman? I mean, it was amazing. She became a fountain of safety for her child, for everyone around her, you know? Wow. And any time I spoke to her, it was like I was stepping into this, like, safe space. It was so powerful. I'm not suggesting you go out and have a child to do this, but you want to find what it is you would do to create that security for yourself. And as you raise your vibration by activating and radiating what is missing in your life, you are creating an environment that lifts us all up. Do you see it? This world needs you to be who you have come here to be. Can you feel that?
Yes.
The time is now. We're the ones. Are you up for it?
Yes.
All right. God bless.
Great to go. You understand?